This is probably going to be one of the most practical sermons that you've ever heard preached, probably one of the most unusual. I'm going to preach on the subject tonight, please don't die. Please don't die. Jewish tradition says that there's three things every person should do while they're still alive. Number one, have a child. Number two, plant a tree. Number three, write a book. They're all things that endure after we are gone. And that's what the tradition is saying, that before you die, before you leave this earth, you ought to do something to leave part of yourself on this earth. The Bible says that David served his own generation by the will of God. And that's while we're alive, that's what we ought to do. We ought to serve the generation that we are part of by serving God. But that isn't the only thing that we should do. There's another generation coming behind us that is going to continue to populate this earth as long as the Lord tarries. And we need to leave them something. I'm sure you've all heard the story about the old man that came to a raging river. And he crossed the river with great difficulty and got to the other side. But before he left the other side, somebody was watching him, and he crossed back over the river and began to build a bridge over that river. He built a bridge over the river, and after he got done, the guy that was watching him came and asked him, "Well, why did you do that? I mean, you crossed the river the first time. I know it was difficult for you, but you made it across. Why did you come back and build a bridge over the river that you'd already crossed?" And the man said, "Well, I didn't build the bridge for myself. I built the bridge for those that are coming after me." And that's what the Bible's talking about in those verses that we read from Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, where the Bible says, "Their works do follow them. Their works will last after they're gone." That's what the Bible means in the book of Hebrews concerning Abel when it says, "He being dead yet speaketh." They left something behind that was a testimony to the generation that was coming after them. So tonight, I have 9 points. I'm going to make 9 statements. And I know I went back to the kitchen before the service started. I said, "I need you to turn on the exhaust fan and suck all the smell of food out of the building. Because there's going to be people sitting there, and they're going to be smelling food, and they're going to be thinking about eating instead of listening to me preach." Well, they didn't do that. I can still smell it, even though I had a great big lunch. John and Chung Cook took me out for lunch for Pastor Appreciation Day, and John and I sinned. The sin of gluttony is still a sin, but I'm hungry tonight, and so I smell that food too. So here's my deal. For the first 8 statements, I won't say much at all. But when I get to statement number 9, you're just going to have to bear down and listen, because that's the gist of my message. So here we go. Number 1, God one day had a work to be done. God one day had a work to be done. Number 2, God made you to do that work. We just completed a series of Sunday school lessons that deal with the basic questions of life. One of the questions is, how did we get here? And we talked about one great creator that Ruth Ann just sang about, that creator that became our Savior. But we were created by God to bring glory to Him, and we were created by God for not only that purpose, but for a work to do. The Bible says that after we get saved, we are His workmanship, created unto good works in Christ Jesus. You see, God didn't wait for you to make your appearance on the earth and then start looking for something for you to do. That's not the way God works. God had something that He needed done, and so He made you. And tonight, I want to just remind you this. Each one of you are a designer model. Each one of you were designed by God specifically to bring glory to Him and to do a work for Him. Number 3, therefore, God needed somebody just like you. Nobody can do the job that God has for you like you can do the job. And by the way, you are not the way you are just by accident or just by coincidence. I know God uses circumstances to mold people. I know that God uses circumstances, life circumstances, to make people. But you are the way you are right now because God is made you that way. Now, again, he's still working on most of us. I remember that song that that Larissa and Travis used to sing. He's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the earth and Jupiter and Mars. But how loving and patient God must be, because he's still working on me. And he's still working on us, but you are the way you are tonight. And I know some spouses might say, oh, no, my husband is so stubborn. He's that way because he's so stubborn. Well, that might have a part into it. Who do you think gave him that stubbornness? God did. He didn't develop that on his own. Don't look at your husband when I say this, ladies. I mean, just pretend I'm talking about somebody else. But God made him that way. You are the way you are tonight because God has made you that way. He's still working on you, but he made you that way because he's got a work that he wants for you to do. And he needed somebody just like you. Number four. You are the only one like you in the whole world. Now stop and consider that for a minute. You are the only one like you in the whole world. Now some of us are grateful for that. But no, that's a joke. But anyhow. But you're the only one like you. There is nobody else exactly like you in the whole world. Just think, stop and think about it. Of all the leaves that have hung on the trees in the history of mankind since the Garden of Eden, there have never been two leaves exactly alike. Of all the blades of grass that have grown all over the world since the Garden of Eden, there's never been two exactly alike. Of all the multiplied trillions and billions of snowflakes, did you see the frost on the roof this morning? Those snowflakes are coming. But there's never been two in all the trillions that have fallen exactly alike. Of all the hundreds of millions of people in the world today, there's no two fingerprints exactly alike. And so if no two leaves are exactly alike, no two snowflakes exactly alike, if no two blades of grass have ever been exactly alike, it's not unreasonable to think and to know that there has never been two individuals exactly alike, so nobody has walked the face of the earth exactly like you. Number five, there is no mind on earth exactly like yours. The mind that occupies my head is unique. The mind that occupies your skull is unique. There's not another one like it. I mean, there's not. You have a unique mind inside of your head. And from the time that God created Adam and Eve and every person that has lived since then, there has never, ever been a mind exactly like yours. Number six, you therefore have had thoughts that no one else in the world have ever thought. You have had thoughts that have come into your unique mind that nobody else in the world has had. Number seven, the next generation needs to know some of those thoughts. If they're unique, if nobody in the world has ever thought them before, then the next generation needs to know some of those thoughts. Number eight, therefore, we must find some way to leave those thoughts on this earth to the next generation before we leave. Now, I know most of you tonight are saying, well, preacher, you're not preaching to me. Look, this is one of those nights I don't want you to be humble. I don't want your humility to get in the way of the point I'm trying to make. You have a unique mind. You have unique thoughts. God has put into your mind things that he has not put into the mind of anybody else. The next generation needs to know some of those thoughts. And we need to find a way to leave those thoughts to those that come after us. Most people, the only thing they leave to their children are possessions. Most people, the only thing they leave to their children are things. And we need to we need to leave more than that. We need to leave the uniqueness that God has put in us to those that will come after us. And so number nine, and here's the point I'm going to spend a couple minutes on, please don't die without leaving some of those unique thoughts to those that will come after you. Let me give you some suggestions tonight. And don't just shake your head and say, oh, preacher, you're not preaching to me. I am preaching to you. If the Lord didn't want me to say this, I wouldn't say this. How can you leave those unique thoughts to other people? Number one, some of you ought to write a book. You ought to write a book. I remember when Juanita Crampton passed away, Sally Tilley's mother. And when I went to the funeral home, Sally showed me a book that Juanita had written about her life. I mean, it started when she was born, and it went all the way up to just a year or so before she died. And in that book were different things that had happened in Juanita's life, and in that book were different things that Juanita thought about as those things were happening in her life. You say, preacher, there's no need for me to write a book. Nobody would publish it. I'm not talking about writing a book to get it published and make a lot of money, although if you do write a book and you get it published and you make a lot of money, then we'll expect your tithe, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just kidding about that, too. But no, we will expect your tithe. But anyhow, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about writing your thoughts down, writing your life experiences down. Writing the thoughts that God has brought into your unique mind, those unique thoughts that nobody in the world else has had, and write it down. And if you'd leave it for nobody else, leave it for your children. Leave it for your grandchildren. Leave it for your great-grandchildren. I envy some of you because you already have many great-grandchildren. I have three, and by the time I have great-grandchildren, I'll be 118 years old. And I don't know if I'll be alive to know my great-grandchildren. Some of you are lucky in that regard because you already have great-grandchildren on the scene. But they're going to have children. You're going to have great-great-grandchildren that aren't going to know you. They're not going to meet you in person. They need to know what kind of person their great-great-grandpa or their great-great-grandma was. Again, you're unique. You have things that in your mind that nobody else had. Leave them to those that come after you. They need to know. Number two, here's another suggestion. Make a tape. If you don't want to write a book, say I'm not good at writing, get you a tape recorder. Get you a little CD or a cassette. I think they still make cassettes. I don't know. I'm probably dating myself. But get you a little tape recorder and just keep a little journal throughout the day, anytime, just from your Bible study, from your private devotion time, as you read the Word of God, just turn on that tape recorder and say, "Here's the things that God put on my heart and on my mind this morning." And again, I'm not talking about putting your picture on it and trying to sell the tape and make a lot of money, although if you do that, again, we'll expect your tithe. I'm talking about just making that tape, putting it in a drawer, leaving it for your kids, leaving it for your grandkids, leaving it for your great-grandkids, leaving it for your great-great-grandkids, so they know how God talked to you. So they know how God used the experiences of your life and the thoughts that went through your unique mind, those unique thoughts that nobody else had, and share them with those that come after you. Number three, pour yourself into your children. Don't just provide food and clothing for them, but let them know how you think. Let them know the thoughts that come into your head. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I can remember my dad and mom doing this. When you go to church, especially if you have small children or if you have small grandchildren, They come to church on Sunday morning. They hear a Sunday school lesson. They hear Adam preach in junior church, or you have them in here, and they hear me preach. I think it's a wonderful thing to go home on Sunday and at dinner time say, hey, what'd you get out of the sermon this morning? What'd you get out of the Sunday school lesson this morning? And then let them know what you got out of it. Let them know how God talked to you. Let them know how the Holy Spirit, the thoughts that he brought into your mind as you sat under a study of the Word of God, as you sat in a sermon. Look, it's not the responsibility of the public school teacher to train your children. It's not the responsibility of the Sunday school teacher to train your children. It's our responsibility. It's the responsibility of moms and dads. It's the responsibilities of grandpas and grandmas. God gave us that responsibility. And we need to pour into our children the things that God has poured into us. Don't just let them guess what went through your mind. Don't just let them guess how God dealt with you. Don't just let them guess how God used the experiences of life to make you the way you are. Share it with them. Write it down. Put it on a tape. Talk to them while they're still here. Number four, get you a Sunday school class. And do the same thing to the little kids that come to this place that maybe mom and dad's not doing that to them. We have a lot of children that come here that mom and dad don't come. They just send them. And I think it would be wonderful. You say, well, do you have Sunday school classes that need teachers? Hey, if the Lord's leading you to teach, we'll find you a Sunday school class. There's opportunities to teach. And again, what a wonderful way to leave a legacy is, hey, I can remember, and Brother Clint knows exactly what I'm talking about. I know there have been adult men that have come to this church and said, Clint Peters was my Sunday school teacher when I was a wee little boy. And there's some things that I remember from that class that he taught me that has helped me become the person, the young man or the older man, the middle-aged man. Some of them are middle-aged now, right, Brother Clint? It's been that long. But it has helped me become the man that I am. And there, and those of you that teach Sunday school, if you've been doing it for a while, you have the same testimony. I mean, I remember being up at the hospital with Barb and the family when Mike was going under the surgery, and Barb was on the phone all the time. It's all the guys that Mike coached. It's all the girls that Barb coached calling to express their feelings for them and their prayers for them as they were going through that time. Why? Because these two made an impact on their lives. They poured themselves into those kids, just like Brother Clint poured himself, just like the Sunday school teachers in the church today are pouring themselves into the children. They're leaving the unique things that God has put in them to the next generation. Number five, write letters. You know, it's an art that's falling out of favor to write letters. We now, you know, pull out our phones and we write emails, and do that stuff. I saw a book the other day. I was online. I was looking for something like this. It was a book that Teddy Roosevelt was the author of. It was entitled "Letters to My Children." When Mr. Roosevelt wrote those letters, he had no idea that they would be published. But somebody gathered them together because of the wisdom that were in those letters, and they put them together in a book and published it. Douglas MacArthur did the same thing. Somebody gathered up the letters that he wrote to his children and published them in a book. And so future generations can now know the thoughts that President Roosevelt and Douglas MacArthur had, the unique thoughts that God put in their mind because they wrote them down. And so again, be it a letter, be it a journal, be it a tape, be it a book, I don't care what you want to call it, just get you something that you can capture those thoughts that God has put in your unique mind, those unique thoughts that nobody else in the world is going to have. By the way, just to let you know, that's why I always have a 3x5 card in my pocket. I always have a couple 3x5 cards, and you can see both of these are filled. Because sometimes I'll get an idea I've never had before. and I'm old enough, if I don't write it down when I got it, I'll forget it, Brother Jack. I mean, if I go, you know, an hour or so, it'll be just like that, and it'll be gone. I'll never think about it again. And so when I get a unique thought, I pull out one of my 3x5 cards, and I write it down because I want to capture it. I want to share it with you sometimes. I want to share it with my son. You know, he said this morning when I made him kiss Chantel, I'm never satisfied. Now, I want you to know that's not true. There's a lot of things that Adam does the first time that I'm very satisfied with, but I'm not holding him to a higher standard. It was a lousy kiss. He needed to do it again. Amen? Besides that, Chantel gave me $5 for doing it, so anyhow. But look, we need to leave something for the generation that comes after. Number six, write a poem. Write a poem. We have some wonderful poets in this church. Brother Wayne lets us hear from them at Senior Saints. We all have a couple of three of our ladies that share a poem. You say, "Preacher, I don't know nothing about poetry. I don't know nothing about meter. I don't know about poetic rules." I'm not saying it has to meet all the rules. I'm not saying it has to have a meter. Just write a poem. I mean, you know, you can rhyme words at the end of a line, and that sometimes poems don't even have to rhyme. But again, I'm just trying to make a point tonight. Leave something for the generation that's coming after. They may not have the thoughts that you have. They may not, God may not speak to them the same way that he's spoken to you. You are unique. You are a designer model. You were made by God. Nobody else like you. Nobody else has the thoughts that you have. Leave those thoughts. Number seven, and I'll quit with this one. Write a song. Write a song. I say, "Preacher, I'm not a musician." Well, look, I'm not saying it has to be good. I'm not saying that, you know, you have to write a tune. Brother Darrell's written a couple songs. I'm just saying capture the things that God has put in your unique mind that nobody else in all of history, nobody else in history past, nobody else in history future, nobody else today is going to think of. Capture those thoughts and leave them to the next generation. They need to know them. They need to know them. And we can be dead and yet speaketh if we leave something behind. We owe it to our kids. We owe it to the kids of the next generation to share with them how God has dealt with us and the thoughts that God has put in our mind. We need to leave them that kind of legacy. Now, the other thing that we need to leave them is a Christian legacy. You know, we talked about Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul reminds Timothy of the legacy that he, the Christian legacy that he had. Paul mentions Timothy's grandmother. He said, "I saw the faith in your grandmother. I saw that faith pass to your mom. I saw the faith in your mom pass to you." We need to pass faith in God to our children and our grandchildren. You can't do that unless you have faith in God yourself. You can't do that unless you know that you're a sinner and that Christ died for your sins. He paid the price that we owed. And you can't leave that legacy to your kids unless you come to that point in your life where you realize that Jesus is the only hope that you have to get right with God. And you come and you ask him to save you. One of the precious promises we mentioned this morning, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He's elected every single person to go to heaven. Satan's voted for everybody to go to hell. You get to decide, you get to cast the deciding vote. You get to vote where you're going to spend eternity. You cast that vote by what you do with Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm not going to tell you how to vote in November. I am going to tell you how to vote when it comes to eternity. You vote with Jesus. You vote with him. He wants you to go to heaven. You vote with him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples that you gave us by those that have gone before us. Thank you, there have been people that have written books and poems and made tapes and kept journals and done different things so that we can share the unique thoughts that you put into those unique individuals. Father, I know pride is not a good thing most of the time, but help us not to be so humble that we would think nobody would care about what we think, that nobody would care about the thoughts that you put into our mind. Father, help us to realize that you've put those thoughts there, and perhaps they could help the ones that come after us. So help us figure out a way to leave them. Help us figure out a way to share them with the generation that comes next. Help us to build those bridges over those raging rivers so that those that come after us might not have such a hard time to get across. I pray tonight, if there is somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you've been speaking to them. You've shown them their sin. You've shown them the penalty for that sin. You showed them the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for their sin. And I pray tonight they would come and they would ask Christ to be their Savior. Pray for the Christians that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to our hearts. If there's something in our lives that needs correcting, something in our lives that should be there that's not, I pray you'd make it plain to us tonight and we'd be obedient to your call. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.